When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Ooh, yeah!
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master, the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
All right, by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand new World Wrestling Federation champion as the press watches on. At this time, to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt, they're proclaiming the real world champion. I'm going to tell you all. With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one. When you are the king of the WWF, you rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, we're the brain.
Woo! Woo!
We did it.
Woo! Let's give a big one. Woo! Woo!
You did it.
I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
hey, Bobby,
called now the real world's heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world... Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogan's and the Macho Man's and the Pipers and the Sids, now it's Ric Flair. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo!
I'm going on tour, and I'm going to show anybody out there that thinks for 1 second that maybe I'm second guessing myself that I am the greatest of all time forever and ever. One surprise! One surprise! Woo. I'm back.
To make it out the ice cold streets of the city, you better have a Christopher Word game with it. You better have a dance game similar to Diddy. Or play
ball
above the rim like
Josh, Chris. You like that, huh? Yeah, man. Killer Mike doing it up. What's up, everybody? Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on Rant EM Radio. It is, what's today's date?
The 19th.
The 19th, which is the anniversary of Ric Flair winning the title. The best Royal Rumble ever.
I would have to say it is.
It's my, well, I shouldn't say that. It's my favorite. Is it your favorite?
I think it's definitely up there, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly enjoyed, you know what it was? It's just such a star-studded Rumble. Like, you think of anybody, they're there.
Yeah.
They're there, and it's unreal. I love that Rumble.
Yeah. Anyway, I am the Impact player, Mr. Philip G. Rea. Joining me in studio finally is Choppy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, no weather, no sickness. We're good to go now.
Thank God. What a shitty 2018 so far.
Well,
for me, it's been.
For you, it's been shitty. For me, it's been quiet. Thank the maker, you know.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, flu of 104 last week.
Yeah.
And then right afterwards, I had the jitus of the larynx, and then it's just, it was just, yeah, not cool at all.
So I get...
Thank you, Kelly.
I get a frantic fucking call from Choppy's wife, and I'm in the middle of, like, dispatching an emergency at my desk, right? And I'm like, okay. She calls twice, then she hangs up, and then she texts me. So now I got a partner who comes back in. I was by myself. Partner comes back in the room. I'm like, all right, here's what you do. I got to step out. I have a family emergency. Let me make this phone call. My boy's like, don't worry about it. Go ahead and do it. I step out. I go to call back. Keeps going to voicemail. My pet peeve is motherfuckers who call me, and this goes for your wife.
Anybody.
This goes for my wife. This goes for my sister. Anybody who does it. I don't know how people can have the phone in their hand, right? Make a fucking phone call or a text message and not answer the phone when you call them back. I mean, it was like within a 2 minute, maybe minute, 30 seconds, I literally jumped out of my chair and said, oh my God, something's wrong, because your wife made it sound like you were dying, right? So, of course, I jump out of my fucking chair to see what's going on, you know. So, yeah, so Choppy was in bad shape. I'm like, get him to a doctor, keep him hydrated, keep him in the house, and that's basically what you did. There's really not much you can do unless you're viral.
You know? It was definitely viral. Obviously, the doctor couldn't give me anything because it was viral. So unless it was bacterial, there could be antibiotics left and right.
Correct.
But doctor said, yeah, you got the flu. I just said she just said take Motrin. Every time I took Motrin, I was sweating bullets.
Yeah, you were
dude.
Breaking the fever.
Holy shit, man. Yeah. I felt like I lost like 5 pounds within those 2 days, man. It was bad.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's, you know what it is? It's see, I get the flu shot, and I was telling this to Dave last week on the show. Thanks, by the way, for Dave for hanging out with us last week.
Thank you, Dave.
And Dave brought presents. Dave Choppy got his present tonight.
Holy shit. Thank you so much, Mega Powers. What a fantastic gift, my friend.
Yeah, so, I get the flu shot, because if I don't get the flu shot, I have to fucking wear a mask everywhere I go in the hospital.
I don't blame you.
Right? Well, they make you get it. And if you don't wear it, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, of course.
But if I wasn't a healthcare professional, I'd just let the geriatrics and the kids get the flu shot, you know? So knock wood and ring the bell. I haven't been sick, you know? So it's been a while. And everybody's getting sick. People are dying from the flu.
Yeah, there was a 7-year-old in the city who died.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's tragic, man.
God, man. And it was scary. It was scary to me when I heard that news because I have a 5-month-old, and I didn't want him to get sick.
Yeah.
But the thing is, fevers run high on children.
And yeah, you have to watch children with their fever because it changes from hour to hour.
Correct.
Whether you give them medicine or not, it's just the way their body is, and they're still adjusting to life. You know.
Yeah.
So.
But it is what it is, and I'm here. I'm fine now. My wife is fine, and
yeah. Then wifey got sick.
Yeah, she had the bronchitis.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I know. Was her name Sweet Brown?
Yeah,
Sweet Brown. She had the Sweet Brownitis.
Yeah, so I was texting her with the video.
Oh, that video's fantastic. Love it.
I ran for my life, Jesus.
Lord Jesus of fire.
Lord Jesus of fire. Lord Jesus of fire.
The fire got to me. I got bronchitis.
I got bronchitis.
Anybody got time for that?
Anybody got time for that? Yeah, man.
Yo, she became a household name after that video.
Did you see the video with her doing the test drive?
Yes.
Was that a Maserati?
Yeah.
She was like drifting in the parking lot.
Dude, Tyler Perry uses her now for every little thing. She became a millionaire overnight. And that was just her being her.
Dude, you know what? I like stories like that.
That's great.
I like stories like that, you know? The same thing with the other dude. He's climbing in your window. That dude, Antoine Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that dude.
I thought you were going to tell me Jared is this.
No, there was a rapist in Linkin Park. Yeah. He's climbing in your window. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Mario's in the house. Mario from the Barrio.
Let's see. Chat room is live. We got, my girl,
Shaylin from the Shaolin. Kelly's in.
My girl, Kelly.
Mario from the Barrio.
That's my girl, Kelly. Me and Kelly go back like fucking Chico Sticks and comic books, man.
Nice.
I've known Kelly since I'm a child. Kelly grew up like 5 blocks away from me.
Really?
And then we became friends as teenagers, so it was pretty dope.
Dope.
So shout out to Kelly.
Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to everybody who's listening. Mario from the Barrio. What's Mario saying?
He said, "Holy shit, the boys are back." By the way, how hyped are you after the Vikings win, Phil?
You want me to tell the story?
Do it.
So I was just telling Choppy, I had to go to work last week. I had to go to Westchester. Holy shit.
So rigorous.
I had to go to Westchester, White Plains, for a fucking EVOC, emergency vehicle operation course. And as a dispatcher, sometimes we get called to like disasters, and you have to use this fucking 28-foot Winnebago. They call it Nemo, and we found Nemo. Let me tell you, this thing is like it's a mobile dispatch command center, right? So now they want us to do an EVOC course on it because there's all this terrorist shit going on in the city. They want us to be prepared. So all right, whatever, that's fine. Do that. And I had to go to Westchester and take this fucking class. And I was so mad at my boss. I'm like, dude, you can't do this in the spring when it's nice outside. It's fucking 8 degrees outside, and you're doing this. He's doing it in two classes. He's doing it one half of the staff. The next month, the other half's got to do it. Mm. I said, on the fucking one day, I want to stay home and watch football. The one day I want to see my boys playing. I have to understand something. I've been a fan since 89. And the Vikings have been to the NFC Championship game 3 times. This will be their 3rd time. 98, and then 2009, when Kelly Saints beat us, because Kelly's a Saints fan. And then now against Philadelphia on Sunday, right? So I'm on a bus, right? I'm listening to the game. Now I'm on XM, Sirius XM radio. The feed is about a minute and 30 seconds behind. So I call my wife in between commercials. I'm like, pick me up at the bus stop. It's really cold outside. And we'll get something to eat. Okay. And I'm about to listen to this game. She's like, all right, whatever. Now, I'm getting off the bus waiting for her. I literally live like, how many blocks from Genesee over there? Like 4 or 5 blocks, you figure, from Genesee in Richmond?
Yeah, it's about that.
Right? Okay. So it took her almost, Simon, you took us almost like, almost... As I was getting off, she was pulling in. I get off the bus, and my phone legit explodes.
Just blew up on him.
Our boy Will Sweeney called me. My son called me. And then all of a sudden, I got 5 text messages and 2 Facebook messages at the same time. And my phone was blowing up. So I kept disconnecting people because I didn't hear the fucking play. I get back in the car. My wife's like, what's the matter? I'm like, stop. I push play on the phone, and the play is happening as I push the fucking on the phone. The play already happened, obviously.
And this is exactly why I didn't text you. Because I knew about what was going down. If you had found out without you even watching the play, I know you would have...
Like, my kid was even watching
the play. Oh, my God. Right? It was great.
Yeah, so now... I couldn't believe it. You know, it was a lucky play. The dude missed a tackle.
Doesn't matter.
All he had to do was tackle him and keep him in. They would have won the game. New Orleans would have won the game. Because we had no time left on the clock. And, you know, if it's under 2 minutes, if you get him out of bounds, the clock stops. But if you pull him down and he's on the field, he's going to run out. Didn't happen. He missed totally missed the fucking tackle. And Diggs ran 61 yards for a touchdown.
I don't give a shit if it was good luck, bad luck, if it was athleticism. It plays into everything, and it plays into football no matter what.
Any given Sunday, bro.
Any fucking given Sunday, anybody can win.
You're right.
And from the... I told you off the air, and I told you at the beginning of the season, the Vikings looked fucking good.
Well, we had a conversation in...
It was August.
It was... Well, Logan was born August 11th.
So it was preseason.
This was right before my birthday. It was right around my birthday. It was actually the weekend of my birthday.
Yes.
And Brielle was in the hospital.
Correct.
So we went to the hospital. It was a Sunday night. And you said to me, you know something? Your fucking Vikings look really good this year. And of course I played the humble. I'm like, listen, man, they're going to be okay. You know, they got a really great defense.
They do, man.
And the Giants were supposed to be good too, and they shit the bed.
They fucking sucked.
They shit the bed. But they were supposed to be good too. And I was like, yeah, you know. And that day we booked our vacation for Thanksgiving.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we were like, yeah, this is going to be great, you know. And it's been a great season, man. I'm excited. I went on StubHub.
You fucking guys have to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, it'll be the first time a host team in the host city will be the, you know.
It has to happen.
Right. I want to go to Philly because we're going to Philly next week for the NXT. But
correct.
The NFC Championship game is in Philadelphia. And I just to go on StubHub.
We could go to a bar if we have to.
Tony Ann was talking about us going to Buffalo Wild Wings on Sunday.
That's fine.
If you guys want to go.
Okay.
You know, she wants to go somewhere for the game.
Okay.
So I was, let me see. What does he say? Is there room for one more on the bandwagon? Yeah, man.
I don't know about the bandwagon, but I support my brother over here no matter what.
So, yeah, and I support. I have two helmets up there. I support the Giants when they're not playing Minnesota. But anyway, so you know, I'm excited, and I wanted to go to. I said, let me see, just to see how much tickets are.
How much were they?
The cheapest ticket was like $470.
Fuck that!
And then it went up to $1,000. So I was like, you know what, you can. And then the boys were like, oh, you're going to wear your fucking gear next week. We're going to get beat up. I'm like, let me tell you something. I said, I've been to Philadelphia with my fucking Rangers gear.
And your Mets gear.
And my Mets gear. Oof. Okay? I don't do it to piss off people. I do it to go to the games. I don't just wear the gear to piss off people.
But you got to keep in mind, Philly fans are fickle as a motherfucker.
They're obnoxious.
They suck.
So either you turn the other cheek or get your face caved in.
That's
like,
it.
That, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a tough guy or nothing like that, but like, you know, the last time I went to a game in Philly, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. It was 95 degrees outside. It was Mets against the Phillies. The Phillies were the Mets were losing 8-0. Okay, and my wife and my son went. They were so hot. They went to get something to drink. So there was two guys behind us, and soon as my wife and my son got up, they were like. Like, oh, shit, to all these fucking people from New York, who they think they are, blah, 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 blah. And one guy was a police officer.
Oh, God.
Because he was talking like he was talking that cop lingo.
Yeah.
I turned around to him. I stood up. I'm like, look, dude, I'm a member of service also. Okay, it's fucking hot. It's annoying. And you guys are winning. Let's enjoy the game. Shut the fuck up. Oh, no, I'm just talking to my friend. You know what I mean? I was like, dude. You're shit talking me. The game is meaningless. We leave in the seventh inning. There was a rain delay. The Mets came back and won the game when we weren't there.
Yeah.
So all I know is that you know, and then we all know the story of Philadelphia with me in the Rangers gear, and I gave the dude my key to the fucking DoubleTree. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I can beat up you and your friend. But I can't beat up fucking 500 of you. And it was me, my boy Kitch, my boy Jay. And we were young, 20 years old, full of piss and vinegar. And it wasn't a thing where I was trying to be a tough guy. I wear my gear everywhere. Anybody who knows me knows my, I've been a fan forever. I wear my gear. I even had Kelly will tell you, I had my gear was embroidered with my name on it. Like, that's how official I am. I rep my teams to the fullest. You know, the only thing I'll wear differently, I wear a lot of baseball hats because I like the retro.
You like the throwbacks,
right? Hence why I have a podcast like that. But I'm not a bandwagon guy. I did jump on the Houston Astros because I was happy for them this year. But
I mean, was it when we went to Lancaster? I got you
the
Sixers hat. Remember that?
And it was
nice.
And then I went and bought a shirt to go with it.
Correct. Yes.
So now maybe when I go to Philly, maybe I'll wear that shirt.
Yeah, why not?
You know, I'll rep it. You know, listen. I go to different cities. I'll rep their cities. I won't wear, like, Atlanta Braves gear. I won't wear Philadelphia Phillies gear. I won't wear Green Bay Packer or Lion or Bear gear because I hate those fucking teams.
Oh, God.
You know? That's like you going to Maryland and wearing a fucking Redskins. Oh, you hate the Redskins. Or wearing Eagles or Cowboys because you're an NFC East guy. You're correct. A Giants fan. My goal is to rep my teams. That's what and all my teams are underdog, blue collar. I've seen the Mets championship. I've seen the Rangers win the championship.
Which was what?
94.
Year? 94.
Okay. The Knicks haven't won since 1970.
Oof, okay. That long?
Yes.
Because I remember the last time they were in the finals was 94.
No, the last time they were in the finals was 2001.
They were?
2000 with Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Right? Yes. Correct. Okay.
And then, of course, the Vikings have been there four times and they never won. I wasn't a fan until 89.
It's going to happen.
So
it's going to happen.
I like the fact that I can – and all my teams are underdogs. You know what I'm saying? I like that too. And I'm the guy.
You hear this, people? You got a Mets fan, Rangers fan, and then you go to Vikings fan. Well, tell them who your English Premier League team is.
Oh, Chelsea.
See?
Chelsea.
See?
I'm a Chelsea guy, but that's because and that's blue collar.
Exactly.
Like me and my brother, and I had a friend, I had my old partner, Mike Sanfilippo, rest in peace. Mike used to drag me to fucking soccer bars in Bay Ridge at like 7 o'clock in the morning. Ooh. At 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we would drink at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Because it got to be 12 o'clock somewhere else.
Correct. It's 3 o'clock in England, right? So, hello. So, the blue collar team, Chelsea's a blue collar team. They just started winning a couple of years ago. And, like, Man U is like the Yankees.
Fuck Man U.
Isn't your brother a Man U fan?
No, he's Arsenal.
Arsenal, he's right. He's an Arsenal guy. Yeah, my boy Dave's an Arsenal fan, too.
I like Arsenal.
They're like Arsenal.
They're a kind of an underdog team, if you think
they
about
are.
It.
They so are. Man City's a good team.
Man City's fantastic. Man U, I can't fucking stand.
Yeah, man.
Alex Ferguson could go suck the biggest, fattest cock for all I fucking care.
Yeah, and Rooney can lick my fucking...
Yeah, Rooney could suck it,
lick
too.
Lick my butt crack.
Ugh,
so the Vikings are in the NFC Championship game. I'm very excited. I'll be in full garb. That's my team, man. That's been my team since Herschel Walker got traded to the Vikings.
God, I remember
that was my team. You know, I was at the very first Met Yankee game in 1997 or 96. The first interleague game I was at. The Yankees beat the Mets. Mets beat the Yankees.
You mean talking about the Subway Series?
Subway Series. Yeah.
That was in 96. No.
97.
I think it was 99, dude.
No, it was earlier than that. 96 and 97.
I say 98, dude.
No, it was definitely before 98 because I was dating a girl whose dad worked for the MTA, and we sat with the fucking in the bleachers with the bleacher creatures.
What's his name? Who's the catcher at the time?
It was Fuck. Either Todd Hundley or Paul LaDuca. But it was I know Dave Malicki pitched a shutout against the Yankees.
Okay.
So I've worked for the New York Yankees, okay? And it was wonderful. I hated the team. I loved the team doctors. I loved Joe Torre's family. I took Scott Brosius to the hospital. Like my ambulance was parked behind Monument Field. I have all the respect in the world for the Yankees. I just don't like their fans.
I fucking hate that stadium, dude.
The new stadium's terrible.
Fucking hate that
stadium. We went there in the summer, you and I. We got to see Aaron Judge hit a home run, though.
Yeah, we did.
Dented
we did.
Fucking furniture. You know, poor Brielle, she was having a hard time. She was pregnant. She was really pregnant. She had a hard time. It was a good time. I mean, it was, you know.
I'm not. Here's the thing. I respect the sport of baseball. I just cannot, for the life of me, get into the sport, man. I mean, maybe because I'm just not a Yankees guy. I don't know what it is.
A lot of people. I have a friend who, one of my friends growing up, he was working Madison Square Garden as one of the ushers. My buddy Eric Terzo, who's a fan of the show. Shout out to Eric. He's my childhood best friend. And Eric worked in the garden. We were in high school. He was in like an usher. He saw like peanuts or something like that. And he said to me, because I played hockey back then. I used to play roller hockey and ice hockey. And he never came to my games, never watched it on TV with me. He wasn't really a big sports guy. But he watched it live. And he was like, I see the appeal. With baseball, people like to watch it live. I know people who can watch it live but can't watch it on TV. I'm a junkie. I love it. I'll watch any kind of fucking sports, okay? I'll watch Arena League football. The only thing I won't watch is golf and fucking tennis.
Oh, I can't watch it either.
Like, you know, when I was a kid, Wide World of Sports was big on Saturdays. They used to have, like, the boxing and the skiing and shit, and nothing was on TV. When you were a kid, you were locked in the house. So, I'm a sports junkie. Baseball's my sport. Hockey's my second love, and everything else is secondary.
All I know is that when with you especially, when fall season rolls around,
it's best.
It's like there's games on all. Yeah, Choppy. The time.
Choppy will tell you. I was a pig in shit. We had baseball playoffs. Hockey was starting up. Basketball and football was starting up.
Oh, dude, it was just crazy.
And that's my jam. You know, I hate the summer, but nothing's better. And Choppy will tell you. I've texted him from fucking minor league parks in New Jersey. Minor League Park in Brooklyn.
I remember you telling me you went to the Somerset Patriots one time.
I texted you from the seat. I was like, yo, this is where I am. I like going to a ball game. I go to fucking Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Lancaster.
Wilkes-Barre's fucking dope, dude.
That's a great, and it's a Phillies team, and I hate the Phillies, but that team, the Iron Pigs, it's a great field.
I like that place.
And it's like $10 a ticket.
It's super cheap.
And it's a good time. You know, minor league baseball is amazing.
Yes.
It's cheap. They give stuff away all the time. And you can have a good time. Maybe sometimes the baseball isn't that good. But I got to see players who are now big time now, like Conforto and Syndergaard and Harvey and all these guys that played through the system. And then the guys who rehab, like last year Jose Reyes was hurt and he rehabbed in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I'm at the game and he's playing fucking shortstop. And I was like, wait a minute. Wow, this is great. He's rehabbing. I went to a minor league game in Tampa for the Rays. In Port Charlotte, where I'm going to be in 2 weeks. The Stone Crabs, they're called.
Yeah.
And, like, we had a suite. We rented a suite, the whole family. Paid $25 a head. Sat in the air-conditioned suite, chilling. I kept box score. I had my little fucking adult beverage. I had my little scorecard. I was chilling. That's therapeutic for me. That's why I play Strat-O-Matic, because I like Strat-O-Matic. You keep score, you fucking write down the stats.
You gotta see this guy once a month on a Sunday, bro.
That's what I do, man. I'm getting ready for my draft as we speak. Yeah. My draft is in February. So the season, they're about to play the World Series. I didn't make the playoffs this year, but I'm fine, whatever.
That's okay.
It's just fun to play. It's a good game. But anyway, enough of that. It's all football right now. It's all football, and it's all about me and you going to NXT with the crew next week.
Yeah, man.
Your first trip to Philly, it's going to be fucking madness.
I tell you, Ryan, it won't be my first trip, but I know for a fact that I've never had a Philly cheesesteak, people.
Yeah, you're going to go to gyms. We're going to do it up.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to get some Philly pretzels and some, Philly has the pretzels.
They're that good?
Yeah.
Are we talking like Pretzel Factory good, or are we talking better than that?
I'm talking on that level. Like,
really?
Like, you know the place on Forest Avenue where we used to get the pretzels?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's where they originated from.
Oh.
So you get them from the fucking mothership, and it's like, dude, it's off the chain.
I'm down for that.
And in the summertime, they have slushies. They call water ice.
Oh, that I know.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Philly's a good town. As much as their sports fans are douchebags,
oh my god,
their town is great. It's nostalgic. It's got a good rooted sports history, especially wrestling. A lot of wrestling went through there in the Spectrum. The
Spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, and the Civic Center. Like, it's a fucking
hell. NWA and WWF used to run at the same exact time.
And the same day.
Same day, just to compete.
Just
man.
Different venues, yeah.
And they used to draw, man. They used to draw a lot of people, considering the fact that both events were at the same time, dude.
Yeah. So, Philly is I went to a Nitro in Philly in 97.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I went to a Nitro in Philly. I went to a bunch of, obviously, ECW cards. And I've been going to see ECW, and I've been going to see the Mets in Philly since the Phillies were in the old Vet Stadium. The carpet was so – I call it the carpet. It was AstroTurf. There was one guy who protested. He wouldn't play because there was cracks in the field. Von Hayes, he wouldn't fucking play. And I was like, that's dope. But the Phillies are hopping town. There's a picture of me from 1991 in a Phillies uniform. because they had to take a picture with a baseball card. They make a baseball card of you.
Yeah.
It's on Facebook. I took a picture of me in the old Phillies gear.
That's awesome.
And people are like, oh, you're a fucking Mets fan. How can you do that? I'm like, listen, man, I respect the team. I respect the lineage. I won't walk into somebody else's house and rub my feet on their couch like Dave Chappelle type shit.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to Nassau Coliseum with the Islanders and Rangers. Mm. I've been to Boston with the Boston – and when Boston played the Yankees – I won't disrespect anybody, and you know what I'm saying. Like I'm not that guy. You know, I respect the rivalry,
of course, and the lineage and all that stuff.
Correct. I won't disrespect. You know, I'm not that dude. I'm the rah rah guy. I'll root and shit, but I'm not gonna be like fuck you and fuck your fans and fuck your mother. Like I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not, and I don't drink at these events too. Like once in a blue moon, I'll have a beer. Like once in a while, it's either a diet soda or a water, and now I have the kid, and it's ultra.
I think even for me, me and you, I think the only times we really drink is probably at the Christmas special, and that's pretty much
it. That's it. Yeah, and you know what? And then
it's not.
I had some cocktails for my birthday, but that was at the game when I was in Somerset. But I was like, it's not, and I wasn't driving, so. I saw Metallica there, Kelly. I saw Metallica at the Mausoleum.
How many people does that hold?
At the Coliseum, like 16,000. It used to be the 16,000. I saw Godsmack open for Metallica at the Mausoleum.
You a Godsmack guy?
They're not terrible.
I didn't think you were. I was
no. They opened up for him. I wasn't.
Oh, I thought you went.
Metallica also at the Prudential Center in Newark.
Ooh.
When they first opened,
yeah.
And that's a first class. Arena, man.
The Prudential Center, I want to like it, but I can't get into it.
They're doing a pay-per-view there this year.
I know.
We should go. I think it's in May.
Where's it at? What do you call it? What's the pay-per-view?
I think No Mercy or something like that.
Okay, it's SmackDown? I think it's a SmackDown.
I don't know. We'll have to look at the schedule, but I think we should go, man.
Okay. I went there. I went to the Prudential Center. It's not a bad idea.
You know what it is, too? Me and my stepdad went there for Metallica. It's a nice place, man. You're from that area, so you know the area.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, it's a shitty area, but when you put something nice and shiny in the middle of a shitty area, it's pretty dope.
I know for a fact, if you want to go see hockey, it's a really good place to go
see
hockey.
It is.
It's fantastic.
It's first class.
Yes, that I agree.
The Devils, it's a first class organization, too.
I've had family go there to watch the hockey games, and they say it's probably the best arena since. It's probably better than the fucking Continental Airlines Arena. To go watch the hockey games.
And I've been to the Continental for hockey. The old Devils, when they had the Christmas tree jerseys.
Yes, yep.
So
Continental Airlines Arena, I like that arena because there's a lot of history there.
I saw Sting lose to Ric Flair
there. You go. And then and then you told me you went to go see Austin break his neck.
At 97.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of history in that place.
Yeah.
So, but now Prudential Center starting their own history, you know?
Yeah, and you'll see now WWE doing more stuff at Barclay and Prudential because it's cheaper in rent.
It's cheaper, and then you know that fans will pay the tickets to go there because
the Garden is too fucking pricey now.
It's way too expensive.
I haven't been to a Ranger game in 3 seasons, bro. Oof. Wow. I won't pay $150 for a ticket and sit in the fucking nosebleeds. I refuse.
You want to know something, and you think it's blasphemy. I have never been to MSG. Ever.
Are you serious?
I swear. If I had a stack of Bibles, I would.
All right, that's going to change this year.
I've never been.
Then we got to go to a house show then.
That's fine. I'll go. I've never been to.
You have to experience a house show at the Garden. But the last event I was at in the Garden was the NCAA. What do you call it? The Big East Championship. Me and Matt went.
So oh yeah, that's right. He got the
$50
tickets.
Fucking dollars for two Jack and Cokes, bro.
What?
$24 a piece with tip.
Fuck that, dude.
I said, you want something to drink? He gave me the ticket for free. We were center. We sat front and center. It was right above courtside.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, we were in the middle of the fight. It was amazing seats, bro. It was $200 seats. He gave it to me for free. So the least I can do is buy him a drink, right? So, all right, what do you got? You give me Jack and Coke. Okay. Let me get two Jack and Cokes, please. That'd be $48. I was like, what? So with tip now, it's like $50-something dollars. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm saying to myself, holy shit. I'm nursing this drink. It was the most expensive Jack and Coke I've ever drank in my life.
That's expensive, dude.
Dude, are you like? How can anybody like? That's the thing, man. Like, we're a family of three now, right? We're a family of three. How can and you're gonna experience this now when Logan gets older? You guys want to go to Disney on Ice, yeah. Or you go to a sporting event or wrestling or something? We're gonna take them, and it's gonna be a very, very, very... What's that? What's so funny?
Kelly just said, put that drink on life support.
Hell yeah.
That's great.
Kelly knows how I get down. Me and Kelly used to go to the fucking corner store and get a couple 40s and call it a day.
Yeah, before. That's it.
Right.
Get some Steel Reserve.
I should have drank before I got to the fucking venue.
Yeah, pre-game it and then go. Yeah. That's fucking insane.
But that's why it's hard to go to these events sometimes, too. Like, you know...
It's, to me, for someone to pay... For someone to charge you $12 for a fucking beer... For $12, I could get a fucking 12-pack, dude.
I had a friend who, you know, I buy my hats at the venue. Every couple months, I buy a new Mets. Every couple years, I buy a couple new Mets hats, right?
Okay.
So my friend says to me, how much you pay for that hat? I'm like, $35. He goes, $35 for a fucking hat? I went, yeah. I said, but you just bought three beers. He said, yeah. I said, how much you spend? He's like, oh, $38. I'm like, yeah, good job, Rocket.
You're just going to piss that out.
You're going to piss that out, and I'm going to go home with a fresh fucking hat. Yeah. For the rest of the year, for the rest of the several years.
Correct.
So, whatever. It's that kind of party, you know? So, it's hard when you have a family. Like, listen, dude, if you park in Citi Field, it's $25 to park. Okay, now that's
not terrible, though.
But, dude, it's $100 to walk in. You figure $25 a ticket, we sit upstairs, and we sit up in the nosebleeds. So, 75, 25, that's $100, and I'm not even in the fucking stadium yet. What's up, Pastor?
Pastor's in the house.
Yeah, Pastor's a dirty Cardinals fan who just traded Grychuk away, by the way. This is his wrong hat.
Yeah, he said...
I'll rock... You see, Pastor, you get me a fresh Cardinals hat, I'll rock that shit. I'll rock it. I don't root for them when you know... But I'll rock it. I have some fresh gear to go with that. You know, I like my retro hats.
You know who played for the Miners? For the Miners Cardinals, huh?
the Macho Man.
Oh, yeah!
So, yeah, man. So, I mean... That's $100 just to walk in. I'm not even in the field yet. Okay, Michael wants to eat. You've seen my son eat.
Oh, he's a fucking animal.
You fed my son. Okay, you know how he eats.
You know what it was though. I've fed your son, but I feel like he eat his to his full potential. To cut.
Correct. He had a bowl of ramen noodles and then knocked off an order of chicken fries tonight within a half an hour.
Was it 10 of them?
At least 10 or 15.
Jesus Christ!
Right. So, but still, like, you got to feed him. Then you got to feed us. That's another $40-$50 right there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all good, you know? Yeah, we'll swap hats this year, Pastor. You send me a fresh Cardinals hat. I'll send you a Mets hat. And we'll take pictures and we'll swap and, you know. And I'll, you know, I like getting hats from, like, my friends go away. Like, my buddy Brian went to Cleveland, got me an Indians hat. You know, Motherboy went to Toronto, got me a Blue Jays hat, you know. That's what I do. I rock the gear, you know. He is part Sarlacc. You're right, Kelly. He's on a way he puts it, man. You know, a way he puts it. So, I don't know. All right. So,
Oh, you want to talk some wrestling?
Yeah, let's talk some wrestling. Then we'll, you know, then we got a cool throwback for you tonight.
Yes, great fucking match.
Yeah, it's 14 minutes that I should have been talking about. Yeah, Mario. I have the World Series Astros hat. You want to give me a fresh Astro hat? I have two of them.
I like their gear.
I like
their gear. The Astros gear is really cool, man.
Yeah, we'll swap hats, Mario. I'll do that with you. I love swapping hats. But anyway, let's talk some wrestling. First of all, first things first. We have 9 entries already in the Royal Rumble contest.
Yes.
Okay. That means we need 20, how many was it? 9 minus 30 is 21, right? We need 21 more entries. Okay. How it's going to work. You're going to email me, turnbuckledthrowbacks1@gmail.com. You're going to email me. I'm going to put your name on a list. How it's sent to me is how the list is going to be. Next week, Choppy and I are going to draw numbers randomly. Those names, we'll get those numbers. If your number wins the Royal Rumble, you will win a prize from myself and Choppy. Could be a shirt. It could be DVDs. It could be a poster. It could be something from the what it was sitting in a box behind Choppy.
Could be a chest hair from my chest.
We can put that in there if you want.
I'm sorry.
That's kind of gross, but we can do that if you want. I had a 97 hat. I want another one, though.
Astros?
With the star.
Really?
That's
cool.
I used to work in a sporting goods store, so I used to rock all the gear.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. When I was in high school. It was called Galoptas.
Queens?
Yeah, it was in Ridgewood.
Oh, okay.
It was owned by Irish immigrants.
Ooh. So,
yeah, you know it. Yeah, man. Anyway, that striped jersey's dope. I like that Astro striped jersey. That's those old school colors. Yeah. John Cena was wearing it.
Yeah, I saw that. I
at
saw
the 2003 that. Rumble.
Yeah.
We were just watching that before in pre-production. All right, so you're going to email us.
Yes,
I'm please. Sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say I really like the old school Mets gear.
Oh, yeah.
From 86?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Fucking beautiful.
I have an 86 World Series hat.
Do you really?
With the patch.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll show it to you. It's in storage.
Awesome.
So you can email us, turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. We have 9 entries already, okay? Hopefully I can fill these up, and we do it every year, and you win a prize.
Email.
Email.
You fucking animals.
The reason why I don't... The reason why I didn't want to do it in on Facebook, because every year it's like, oh, you didn't get my name, you didn't get my name, and like I used to have a thread of people who weren't responding.
Yes.
So, and I was telling Matt Squires this too, like last year, I was like, dude, I was like, it's ridiculous. I said, next year I'm going to do the fucking email, and that's it. So turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com.
One more time?
turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com.
Thank you.
And if you don't know the email, message myself, message Choppy, we'll give you the email, send you the link.
And it should be no excuses.
No, we want you guys to win a prize.
Yes.
And I got to get rid of some of this shit. So, no, not that shit. That's my shit.
I was about to say.
Those are my bobbleheads.
I was about to say, dude.
Yeah, you ain't getting my bobbleheads.
Oh, what do you call it? The pop figures that are coming out are fucking ridiculous, dude.
Did I tell them what you got me for Christmas?
I think you put it up on the page.
You got me Money Inc. The pop. The I Funko got, Pops and Money Inc.
So I go to Walgreens, right? And the I just... That this thing just popped out. No pun intended. So I looked at it. I was like, holy shit. There's Ted DiBiase and IRS in a double pack. And it's a Walgreens exclusive only.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to get this for Phil. He's going to fucking love this shit right here. I showed him. He was like, yo, it's Money Inc. This is fucking great. I love it. This is great.
Now, was it you or was it wifey that said he was wearing a toupee? I think it was your wife.
I think it was wifey.
She's like, he's wearing a toupee.
Of course.
I was like, is he? He looks like he's wearing one.
But, yeah, man. I love these pop figures. Oh, Scott. I saw pictures of Scott that he posted up. He got some Fraggle Rock pops.
What, recently?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't seen Scott.
Oh, dude. I saw it last week. I was like, yo, Fraggle Rock was the shit. In the 80s, man. I loved it. Scott! Yeah! Throwback right there.
Play it again. Scott! Scott got me on... Scott started this with me, by the way.
Did he really?
He was.
I thought it was Tank.
Well, Tank... Yeah. Tank was giving me... Scott was getting, like... Scott mailed me two of them. I wanted two of them that were exclusive. I got a Star Wars one that's exclusive.
Okay.
And he mailed me something else. But then I started getting Judge Dredd. I got the, and then you know, wifey got me for Christmas. I got a Beast Man from He-Man.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I got a He-Man.
If they come out with a Manny Faces,
they think they have one.
No, they don't. Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would get that in a heartbeat. Manny Faces.
Yeah, Manny Faces. That's my friend's rap name. He's in a rap group. That's who called himself.
Manny. That's cool.
Yeah, shout out Damien. Anyway, so yeah, man. So Funko Pops, they come out with. I got a Macho Man one.
That's what
a
why.
I have the Ric Flair exclusive from Walmart.
Oh, you got that one?
I got that one.
I got Andre. I got Macho. I think that's it. That's all I really wanted.
I got a few of them. I got a lot of them, actually, from Tank, too.
Do you have Dusty?
No. Tank gave Mikey a ton of them. We have Galactus.
Galactus is dope.
We have a Black Panther. We have a Spidey. We have a...
Wasn't I the one who told you about the Black Panther being at Walmart?
Yeah, we got Groot.
Groot is dope.
We have a bunch. Rob and Elaine got me Drax when I was in the hospital. So I got a Drax one.
I got Brielle the Beauty and the Beast ones with the cup, the tea kettle and the cup.
Oh. What was the Disney one with the black princess? Remember they had a...
Isn't that the Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, that's Tony Ann's movie. So I got her the princess.
I never seen that movie. Is that good?
Yeah.
I'm a big Disney guy. And I love all those
Yeah,
movies.
We got a bunch of Disney ones too. I got... There's one open up there. I got the midget from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, Lannister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiana, right. Yeah, yeah, that's who I got.
I love all those pops.
I miss Matt's Road Reports, too, man. He doesn't call in anymore.
Matt's Road Reports are fucking hysterical.
Yeah, Maniac Matt Squires. Or Our Roaming Reporter.
Oh, dude, that shit was so funny.
Yeah.
He has to come on a couple times now.
Yeah, we got to get him on. Well, he knows that.
Yeah, he can call back. He can call in anytime he wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got call Blanche. Yeah, I got a bunch of them, man, and I really, you know, of course, I got the custom one from the UK.
Yeah,
that was Tank. So I got a lot of them, dude. I got a bunch of them. But yeah, they're fun. All right, so we got the Royal Rumble stuff out of the way. Drawing is next week. We'll do that.
You want to do the match listing for NXT?
We did the match listing already.
Did we?
I watched NXT this week. It was great. So the Undisputed Attitude is going to fight the AOP for the titles, right?
Okay.
Aleister Black is fighting Adam Cole in an Extreme Rules
match.
That's
dope.
Cien Almas is going to fight Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Ember Moon is fighting that Ultimate Fighting chick.
The Dyke?
Yeah.
Excuse my language.
Yeah, I think that's all for now. I think there's more. No.
I thought didn't Roddy challenge Lars Sullivan?
Oh yes.
Dude, I am amped for that one.
I watched that. Who's that team? Heavy Artillery? What's name?
Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery. That dude, the big
Otis.
Dude,
Otis is great.
He's massive.
He's huge.
He reminds me of Rhino.
Yes.
He's agile. He can run. Oh man.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me a little bit of Rhino. And you're gonna think I'm crazy, but Buzz Sawyer, a little bit. Just
the attitude,
the look, the facial
look. Yeah.
But then he has the body of Rhino, dude. Like he's just a massive man.
Yeah. So I watched NXT this week, and I watched those guys. I'm excited. It's gonna be a good call.
NXT is it was starting to go down a little bit for me. And now it's going straight back up for me again.
Yeah, they signed Ricochet, they signed War Machine.
I'm glad
they signed Candice LeRae,
which is Johnny Wrestling's wife.
Yeah,
I'm excited for Ricochet. They should have signed Ricochet like 4 years ago.
Whatever. I mean, he's there.
That's all that matters.
Yeah,
but he's what, 29 years old, so he's still got.
He's fine.
I'm excited for War Machine though. You know what? The matches.
If they keep the gimmick.
I think they're going to keep the gimmick.
If they keep the gimmick, I'm fine with it.
Dude, could you imagine? I'm thinking Usos versus War Machine. I'm thinking AOP versus War Machine. You got the Bludgeon Brothers. You have.
I like Street Profits.
The Street Profits.
I like those guys.
I'm not a big fan of those guys.
You know what it is? They're going to be better. Like, you can tell that they're still a bit. They're still off.
Angelo Dawkins, I'm not a fan of. I like the other guy.
The other guy, yeah.
The other guy, he has money written all over him.
Yes, I agree.
But I see him as a singles competitor, not a tag team wrestler.
Well, they'll split him up, so.
I think that, what's the other guy's name? I just know Angelo Dawkins is the other.
I know who you're talking about.
The other guy is dope. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the reports of Roman Reigns being brought up on the stairs? It's fucking cares.
You know what? And I'll let you, you know what? Do yourselves a favor. Listen to Breakfast with Blasi this week. Don Tony breaks it down. There were all these sites that reported stuff that had no idea what was going on.
Correct.
So I posted the PW Insider thing because it was just I posted what they said. I didn't have like breaking news, and like Don Tony says, I don't want to be first. I want to be right, and he's right. He's been doing this for like over a decade, so he knows. Listen to that, and do that.
I agree because. You, even when we post stuff on the throwbacks page, people just want to be the first ones to throw it up there, and I'm just like, bro, do we even know if this is like a legitimate site that we're posting it on?
Yeah.
Do we know if it's that it's
true? It's very rare I post news. I post something that's validated, okay? The Usos thing I posted.
Well, the Usos thing, I was kind of shocked by
it. It was public, and I'm kind of shocked too. Hope they do. I mean, I hope it's.
I hope that doesn't ruin their title reign.
And bro. I hope it's just not a. I hope it's not a problem with him. I hope it's just like a thing where he was just fucking around and partying.
I guarantee you, he probably had one drink, and in the area that they were in, that one drink, it came up on the breathalyzer, and that was it for him.
If that's the case, I hope it's just not a problem. Where he's like an alcoholic or anything like that. Because I mean, they're a good team, and
I mean, remember when Bo Dallas was having issues at one point?
Same thing.
It's just one of those times where they were randomly pulled over, and that was it. I mean, come on, it's
funny. Yeah. I'm not above. You know, I don't want to say. No one should assume anything. You know.
And also the whole steroid thing with Roman Reigns. Who cares?
Yeah. Again,
wrestlers take steroids. Who fucking cares?
If first of all, the guy who's accusing people
He's probably full of shit.
Well, not only that, he's up for like listen to what Don Tony's. You think he's up? For, you think he's on trial for something like?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to go for
a bunch of shit going on.
He's supposed to go to jail for a long time.
Like you think if this would have been paper trailed initially, like Roman Reigns would have got pinched already. You know, like I don't know, I don't.
And not for nothing, man. Roman Reigns has a pretty good physique, but he doesn't look like he doesn't look like, say, for example, Jinder Mahal. Where from 1 minute Jinder Mahal was this, and then he's that.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
So I think Roman Reigns has consistently stayed with the same physique for a long time, and even if he's on steroids, who gives a flying fuck? Wrestlers, you got to keep in mind this is not a legitimate sport; it's sports entertainment. So if these guys are taking performance enhancing drugs, who cares? Even if John Cena's taking it, who cares? It doesn't matter. If you told me that guys in the NFL and the MLB and the NBA are taking it, then yeah, it'd be an issue because they're cheating at that point. Fuck it, exactly. That's my thoughts on that.
Put that cigarette out.
And what's this? Did you guys hear about Rich Swann's being fired from it? What? No, Shaylin, he's going to get fired from Impact.
No, that's not Rich Swann. That was that Japanese chick who got fired. Hyena, whatever the hell her name was.
His wife?
Yeah, she got pinched because...
Why?
Because she didn't want a job.
Like, wait, you just got to the company and you didn't want a job?
She wanted to do a squash match.
What?
That's the rumor. I don't know if it's legit.
Oh, my God.
You know, I don't know. Like, again, it's just all... It's all speculation. All these websites, like, piggyback off each other. And it's, like, you know... And I gotta... Again, I'm piggybacking on Don Tony. I'm like, it's a... You know, I'd rather be right than be first.
First, exactly.
I don't want to be, that's why we don't post nothing on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com except for the shows and links to our friends, and you can play our show on the site. I don't post news. I don't post rumors. I don't post none of that shit. It's not even.
That's all that matters.
Because I don't want to be the guy that put something up there and it was accused of something false. You know.
I was going to ask you something about Ring of Honor. Now that we've gone a month into the title reign of one Dalton Castle, what are your thoughts so far?
He hasn't really defended the title.
Correct.
He's been doing like a lot of six man and
simmer is what you're saying.
Well, Ring of Honor, you know, they start slow in the new year. They start touring around now and then right they hit their full potential for the year at Mania Weekend. So once you hit Supercard of Honor, it's a go. Punishment Martinez is getting title matches, unfortunately. Yeah, I know. So
the Baron Corbin of Ring of Honor.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out.
He fucking sucks.
We'll see how that works out.
He is not a Donovan Dijak. I'm sorry.
No. I watched SmackDown, so I watched Bobby Roode win the U.S. title.
That was cool.
That was fun. I'm happy for Bobby Roode.
I thought they were going to screw him and give it to Mahal, and then
and have them feud for it. I would have been okay with that.
I thought they were going to do. I wish I would have been okay with it too.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that.
And then when Bobby actually wins the belt, that would have been cool too. But he got it. It didn't matter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Also, now that he's won the United States title, let's enjoy it for now because I was already seeing people online talking about, oh, when do you think he's going to get the world title? I'm like, bro. He just got the United States title.
Wait, didn't even make Nakamura a champ yet.
Fuck. That just shows you what kind of faith they have in Bobby Roode as opposed to Nakamura.
Right. So, you know, let it simmer.
And I love Nakamura, by the way. And I think it's a fucking travesty that he's not, you know, that he's not in a much better position on SmackDown.
Right. Yeah, no, it's fine.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on the not the reformation, but the formation of the Balor Club. Do you think it's the same pizzazz as...
I think they're just capitalizing on what the Bullet Club might be doing now with the whole split. And, you know, they got to give Balor something to do. Because apparently, from what I read, again, this is all speculation, Vince doesn't like Balor without the makeup. Apparently he's not convincing enough, and I'm really getting like aggravated with these websites reporting that, you know, they're not, you know, they're not happy with these guys when they're this or they're that. They're underweight. They're this, that. I mean, listen, it's either shit or get off the pot. They're there for a reason. They signed Balor for a reason. They cherry-picked all these guys from the Indies and Japan and Europe for a reason. There's a reason why they're there. It's not a coincidence. It's not by luck.
Correct.
These guys are all talented motherfuckers.
Especially, I feel like Carl Anderson is such an underrated talent.
Oh, we talked about that already.
Oh my God,
I love him. And you know what? Let them, if they want to do the, if they want him, want them. Listen, if you're paying me top dollar and want me to be, listen, they paid Matt Bourne a king's ransom to be fucking Doink the Clown. Okay,
he got paid, bro.
Okay, Tito Santana was a matador.
He got paid really well too.
Remember that, okay? Remember that. So, if you're gonna pay me a king's ransom to entertain you the way you want it, I'll fucking dance on plates for you. You know, I'll do a trampoline for you. I don't care. And then if you want, go back to Japan and do your thing.
I think that's a problem, though. In a way, it's a little bit of a problem. Because if you just say, hey, we're going to give you X amount of money a year, and we're going to tell you how you do it, and then the talents are like, okay, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. Just give me my money and I don't give a fuck.
Right.
It kind of like brings down the morale and brings down the quality of the product, you know?
Again, if they were catering to us, we wouldn't have this conversation. Correct. And they're not. So let's take all the positives and take whatever we can out of it. I liked it. It was fun. If they're going to keep doing it, let them do it. Let them have a ballot club. Who cares? We know it's imitation making the best form of flattery. We know that it's a Bullet Club copy, you know? It's the same way Vince copied the Road Warriors.
I just think, you know what it was? I think that they should have brought the Bullet Club together maybe like a year and a half ago when Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows first came in. Because now it's just like, okay, you guys are together and it just doesn't matter anymore. Who cares?
Yeah. If they would have did it initially after Mania, like we all thought they were going to do it,
they should have. You know what they should have done it? They should have done it at SummerSlam when Balor was going up against Seth Rollins for the Universal title.
Correct.
That's when they should have done it.
And helped him win.
And then
before Balor, he got hurt and whatever.
And then Balor would have been a heel at that time.
Well, let's see what happens.
By the way, speaking of Rollins, what did you think of the curb stomp coming back?
I was shocked.
I was happy, dude. I was like, what?
I like the move.
I love the curb stomp.
I like the curb stomp.
I think a lot of people are saying that, you know, Seth has been having problems with, like, finishers that he's had. He's been using the V-trigger, kind of, sort of.
He used Triple H's
finisher. Pedigree. And then he was using the curb stomp. I think he should have just kept the curb stomp.
Yeah. You know, it's not hurting people. It's not. Like, Otani's hurting, breaking jaws when he goes to sleep.
Oh, he broke the orbital bone of Brian Kendrick. Listen to that, people. The orbital bone of a man was broken with this other guy's knee.
I broke a kid's orbital bone in roller hockey in a fight, right?
Well, that was a fight.
But just think about what the bone itself holds the eye socket. So if I would have got close to this kid's face, not on purpose. I didn't mean to break his face on purpose.
But yeah.
I wanted to punch him in the face because he broke my nose. But, you know, he hit me once and broke my nose. I had to hit him 20 times to break his face.
Oh, he hit me once, but I hit him like 20 times. It's okay.
Well, yeah, whatever. But
dick.
Either way, if I would have punched him any closer to that eye, I could have blinded him.
You could have.
So it's a serious fucking... Orbital break is a serious fucking break.
He could have looked like Captain Hook if it wasn't. You got to add a little eye patch there.
They're calling it the blackout?
Yes. What do you call it?
Okay. I'm not opposed.
I like it because...
I'm not opposed.
Because he was calling it the blackout in NXT.
I'm not opposed.
You know what I can't wait to see? I can't wait to see Seth Rollins versus Aleister Black one day.
He might see it.
I would love to see that happen.
I want to see Adam Cole and Aleister Black on Saturday, next Saturday.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be so good.
In an Extreme Rules match in Philly.
Speaking of live events, myself and Mikey will be at the Barclay Monday night.
Oh, my God. That's right.
We were offered tickets. I think I said it last week. And we took them.
Get some good pictures, brother.
We're going to be row F on the floor at Barclay. So if you guys are there, look us up.
He's going to smell the sweat right off the wrestlers.
Yeah, Mikey's gonna be, and we just found out the main event because Miz was on local news today on Channel 11.
Okay.
And he was in full character, which is pretty dope.
Of course.
And he said the main event is going to be him and Roman Reigns for the IC title.
Which I think Miz might get the belt at that time.
Yeah, and I think Shaylin posted on the pages today that they're going to have a Legends Battle Royal at the Manhattan Center. So
I can't believe they're running the Manhattan Center and the Barclays at the same time.
You know, if these tickets weren't free, I wouldn't be going, you know. But I'm doing it for I told Wifey she should go with the kid, but she didn't want to go.
Did you tell your job that you're taking off that day?
Oh, I put in for it, yeah.
Good.
I just did time and a half to get the day off so I can have the day off so I can work the, you know, could you, when you work on a holiday, you get 8 hours, 10 hours vacation time.
That's awesome.
So anyway, before we go to break, I want to talk about Goldberg.
Yeah, 2018 Hall of Fame inductee. I mean, that's good. It's big news.
Let me address the rant EM people. When I mean by rant EM, I mean William Morgan. Oh. I mean Hightower. All the fucking Big Tone. All the fucking hate. Oh, Tony C. All the fucking Goldberg haters.
I hate Goldberg, too.
Let me address you and the rest of these J-Brones, okay? Bill Goldberg has every right to be in a WWE Hall of Fame, Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. He was homegrown from their power plant. He was made by WCW, crafted by WCW, and pushed by WCW. And for the time, he was over. Did he put on 5-star matches? Absolutely not. Did he talk? Not a wink. Did he wow you at all? No. But the hype was there for a long time, and his name is still being mentioned. His merch is still being sold, and his videos are still being sold. And he's still relevant 25 years later. Like, he's still a name. And I said this to people, like, what are you, crazy? There's so many other people that belong in there. Listen, everybody is going to get in. All your favorites will get in eventually. It's a politics thing. If they're not helping WWE right now with something, they're not getting in. Like, Smash and Axe are suing them for fucking something, right? They're not getting in anytime soon because they're suing them, okay? Rick Rude finally got in. Like, guys will get in. I'm sorry. And then somebody said to me, well, what kind of feud did Goldberg have to get him in? I'm like, wait, so the Beverly Brothers and the Bushwhackers feud got the Bushwhackers into the Hall of Fame? Like, Coco Beware did his feud with fucking Owen Hart? Get him in the ring. Get him, like, guys, everybody's going to get in. It's a fucking Hall of Fame that doesn't have a physical Hall of Fame.
Which it will have a physical Hall of Fame eventually.
Eventually, if Triple H has his way, and it's fine. But everybody's going to get in. It's not like sports. It ain't like the Hall of Fame where you get, it ain't like the Baseball Hall of Fame where sports writers have to vote you in, and you only get on a ballot a certain amount of times, and then that's it. Like, you're done.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. It's not going to happen like that.
I think a lot of the... I think the reason the hate that Goldberg gets is not... It's not... Listen, do I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely he does. Do you know how much tickets that motherfucker sold? How many tickets that motherfucker... He sold 40,000 tickets.
He sold out the Georgia Dome.
He sold 40,000 tickets on a Monday Nitro.
And he won the belt in his hometown.
Yeah.
Against the biggest star in pro wrestling.
Hulk Hogan made that motherfucker. Made him.
I need to emphasize this. It's not a... They didn't vote... He's not getting in on the feud he had with Raven. He's not getting in on the feud he had with Hogan. He's not getting in on the streak that he had. The momentum in the streak. The popularity. The merch.
He became a household name.
Correct.
In the 90s.
Correct.
Everyone knew who the fuck Goldberg was because...
Correct.
Okay, he may have looked similar to Austin in look-wise, but he was a totally different wrestler compared to Austin. And I remember seeing him on Jay Leno. I remember, like, a lot of these wrestlers in the 90s were going on Jay Leno, David Letterman, if I'm not mistaken, and at the time, who else was there? Whatever, a lot of these old late-night talk shows. Everyone was going there. And Goldberg was one of these guys. He's in the same league as The Rock, Austin, And Hogan, I'm sorry.
I really don't like to get into these fucking this Facebook rants, you know that, but I had to jump in. Like, you guys are basing your criteria on things that are irrelevant to what's going on.
I mean, the guy had some feuds. I remember. Look, I pointed out DDP. Yeah. His feud with DDP was really good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
His feud with with Kevin Nash. There was some stuff that he did. Man. There was some legitimate. There was some. I mean, okay. His career in WCW started in 97 and ended in 2001. And then, okay, fine. He didn't have, like, the most memorable matches, but he had a memorable, like, charisma, physique, and aura of the man. And that's why the crowd was drawn to this guy.
In under 5 years, he becomes a household name.
In a year!
Well, I'm talking about you listen. It took The Rock the same amount of time. It took The Rock made his debut in 97.
I think
the Survivor Series.
I think The Rock took a lot longer. He debuted in 96.
Well, 97, right?
No, 96.
With the Survivor Series.
With Survivor Series, it was Goldust.
The
Blue Chipper. Goldust, Barry Windham, and Mark Merrill were in the same team.
Right.
And he was a sole survivor of that match.
So within 2 years, he was in the Nation. Within 2.5 years, he was IC champ.
Okay. And within... Dude, he became the world champion in 2 fucking years.
So, like, again, this is my point. Like, I think guys are putting criteria on these Hall of Famers. Like, come on, man.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, if Goldberg wasn't a big deal, then the same could be said about Ultimate Warrior. Because the Warrior, his matches were not that big of a deal. But you don't think the man deserved to be in the Hall of Fame? Of course he did. He was a household name just like fucking Goldberg. And for people to say, oh, Goldberg doesn't... I don't like Goldberg either. I don't like the guy. But do I think he deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame? Absolutely. He won the WCW World Championship. He was a WCW United States Champion, Tag Champion with Bret Hart. And then he goes to the E and he wins the Universal title and their WWE World Heavyweight title. The man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And if people don't like it, sorry.
That's fine. You don't have to
tough.
Like it. No, I don't care if you don't like him. I don't care if you think he doesn't belong.
Yeah.
But you're basing the criteria on something that is irrelevant to the character. Look at the Hall of Fame in a whole.
Okay.
Okay? 60 or 70% of these people that are on that list were not very good wrestlers.
Superstar Billy Graham?
Well.
He was okay.
He was...
Was he better than Bruno? Fuck no.
No, but he was over for us. He was probably one of the best heels in wrestling.
He was very... But the thing is, he was a very unconventional heel.
Correct.
Because he got cheered
right
as a heel.
Correct.
But I'm saying, we're talking about... You're trying to base your criteria on guys that weren't very good wrestlers.
Okay, so Superstar Billy Graham, you put him at... Okay.
Who else? Warrior was not a very good wrestler.
Not at all.
And people will love the fact that he went to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, we can do a list of all the guys that have been into
Coco tonight. Beware.
Coco Beware.
I didn't think JYD was that good.
He wasn't good by the time he got there.
But no, he wasn't
good at all.
But he was a very good character.
Character.
Oh, friend, fantastic.
Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers were horrible.
You know.
Who else?
A ton of people.
Is Giant Gonzalez in it?
No.
He's not in it yet?
No.
Wow, I thought he was.
No, Andre's in. Andre was the first one.
You know. But Andre in his younger years was fantastic.
Correct.
I've seen his stuff when he was in his 30s. Oh, my God. He was so good.
And in Japan. But, like, they, you know, it's...
Hogan.
Hogan.
It wasn't Hogan, very good.
Hogan was probably the greatest performer in our era.
Correct. And like what you said before, you don't have to be a great fucking wrestler. You just got to be a character that transcended pop culture. And that's what most of these guys did. Goldberg did it. Sorry. I'm not a Goldberg guy, but he does deserve to be in there.
I didn't go out and get the T-shirt.
Me neither.
I didn't.
I didn't buy the training cards. I didn't buy the action figure.
But I got the hype.
Yeah.
I understood the hype.
Correct.
So.
Do you remember when Austin went on national TV and challenged Goldberg, and then Goldberg did the same thing on one of the talk shows?
I think it was like Jay Leno or something like that.
Yeah, and then Taz came back and fired challenged both of them. I was like, what?
Well, Taz went on ECW.
Oh, it was so fantastic, though. It was great. I love that.
Taz was calling out people left and right.
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah. I fucking loved it.
Speaking of Taz, before we go to break, today was we lost Bam Bam Bigelow today a few years ago.
Oh, God. Right?
And I was watching the Taz feud with him when Taz cut the promo on him
yeah!
in Queens.
Yes!
After he went to the table.
Yeah, man.
You know, but yeah, we miss Bam Bam.
Bam Bam Bigelow, in my opinion, the best big man.
I agree.
In wrestling,
he's one. He's top. He's probably top five. My favorite wrestlers of all time.
Oh, really?
Top five, top ten.
I think in terms of big men, I think he was my favorite big man. Because to me, a lot of people put Vader as number one, which rightfully so. He was a good big man.
Yeah, but but Bam Bam was doing cartwheels at 400 pounds.
Yeah,
and moonsaults and shit.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, headbutts, flying headbutts.
Listen, people, if you want to watch some of his greatest matches, watch his matches with Taz.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
His stuff in WCW when he was a triad.
Oh my god,
that was dope.
With him, DDP, and Canyon.
And Canyon, yeah. The Jersey Crew.
Watched a match with him and RVD for the TV title.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking
ECW, yes.
Oh my god, so good.
Yeah.
Bam Bam was no joke. He was legit. I loved him.
So I think that's it. I don't know if you have any other news. No, we're good? All right. So we'll take a quick break. Choppy's got to check on the little guy
because
he's visiting us tonight.
Yes, he is.
And I got to check on my little guy and grab a beverage. So was it Brody?
Brody's not in. Brody's not in, dude. I wish he was.
Like Carlos Colon is in. And Carlos Colon wasn't a great wrestler. You know, he's a great performer.
It was okay.
Right. He's a great performer. You know, I mean, his stuff with Abby was fantastic.
Yeah, Abby's in and he sucked.
Right. Right.
Brody should be in the fucking Hall of Fame.
Brody will be in.
Yeah.
He'll get in. Eventually, he'll get in.
Eventually. Exactly.
The Freebirds got in eventually. The Midnight Express will get in. Cornette's going to get in. All these guys are going to get in.
Kevin Nash is not in yet. I think he should be in.
They're going to get in. Right. The NWO is going to get in. DX is going to get in. So all those guys are going to get double rings like Horsemen, you know?
You think they...
I know all those groups are going to get a fucking... At least the four, the founding four. Hogan, the founding three. Hogan, Hall, and Nash will get a ring.
I was really hoping Christian would get one.
Christian might.
I think he's going to get one.
Why not? Former world champion, former IC champion.
He won every belt.
10-time tag team champion.
I think he's going to get it just by... A lot of people are saying he might just get it just as a tag team with Edge and Christian. But I think he's going to get it by himself.
I agree. Shout out to Mr. X, by the way. He's listening in. What up, Mr. X?
Hello, sir.
I miss Mr. X, but I talk to him almost every day, so
yeah.
It's good. All right, let's take a quick break.
Yep.
All right, with Turnbuckle Throwbacks, but live, RaniumRadio.com, Phil and Choppy, and we'll be back with a kick-ass throwback for you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell. I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumbfuckery.
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Along with Pat Patterson, what is this intercontinental champion?
Just what it says, Mr. McMahon. Last week, Pat Patterson and yours truly were in Rio de Janeiro for the week, where Pat Patterson and 20 of the world, not the United States, not Northern United States, not Southern United States, but from all over the world, England, France, China, Russia, all over. That is where the tournament was held, and this is the man who emerged triumphant, the new Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, now, Mr. Patterson, what happens to the North American title if, in fact, you are the Intercontinental Champion?
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, the Intercontinental Champion represents a lot of money and a lot of prestige, and represents a lot more prestige than the world's championship belt, because you know why? To win that championship, I had to beat 15 of the best wrestlers in the world in the tournament, and I came out on top. So I don't care who the world's champion is, I am the Intercontinental Champion, and I'm the best in the world today. Now, as far as the North American Championship belt is concerned, I really don't care what happens to it, because now I'm up to bigger things. They'll probably have a tournament or something. I really don't care. Now I'm up to bigger things. You're looking right now on your television screen at one of the best wrestlers in the world today, Pat Patterson, the new Intercontinental Champion. Now, how do you like that, to see me on your television screen?
Right. We thank you for your time, the Grand Wizard and Pat Patterson.
Before we go, they tell me you have a lot of class. Why don't you shake my hand and congratulate me?
Congratulate us both.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pat Patterson and the Grand Wizard. We shall return with more wrestling action in just a moment.
Yeah, man. I got a text from my boy Chris Espo. Chris Espo is one of my dearest friends. Fan of the show. My pigskin prophet.
I like that moniker.
The pigskin prophet?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Espo is a gem. And he's like, you know, listen to fucking X-Ray Vision by Clutch. And I'm like, dude, Clutch has been one of my favorite bands for the last decade. Those guys are amazing. And if you ever get to see them live, go see him. So, all right. Did you want it? You don't have a fuck you wrestle of the week, right?
No, but I'm starting to get really pissed off over this Paige news. No one gives. I don't. She's not retired.
Not yet, anyway.
Jesus fucking Christ! You know what? Fuck Paige. Ring that bell, goddammit.
Anyway, Clutch, go get them. They're fantastic. They're from Virginia. So good. And if you ever get to see them live, go see them live. So Chris inspired me tonight to, Choppy's getting some feedback from the fans about Giant Gonzalez getting into the Hall of Fame. He's never getting in, Mr. X said.
Gonzalez, I don't know, man. He had a pretty big feud with The Undertaker in 93.
They fucking ruined him once WCW realized he couldn't wrestle. They took him from, like, the Argentine basketball team.
Yeah.
Once they realized he couldn't wrestle, it was over for him. It was over. And then Vince takes him and puts a furry suit on him.
Like fucking Chewbacca had shaved.
We have that figure, by the way. Mikey has on the shelf. Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, he does. You're right.
Oh, my God. Tank bought every retro figure there was, man. Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
There were some characters, I'll tell you, back in the early 90s.
Oh, my God, dude. I was watching the other day. I was watching the Battle Royals in order, like the last couple of weeks. And there was one with, like, every character. Like, the Smoking Guns and Doink and, like, oh, man.
If WWE ever does this, I would love, I highly doubt they will, I would buy a Damien Demento action figure.
Okay, terrific.
I think they should.
So I guess my Kazarni figure would...
Kazarni!
Okay, terrific.
Kazarni! That's great.
Whew. What about my Oz figure, you know?
What about my T.L. Hopper?
T.L. Hopper. Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
I would get a Duke the Dumpster Drosy action figure.
Oh, man. You know what I got to find for you? You would love it.
The Goon?
No. I have the first WrestleCrap book.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know who's on the cover?
No, please.
The Demon.
Oh.
Dale Torborg. Jeff Torborg, former manager of the Mets. His son, Dale.
Holy shit. You have that?
The WrestleCrap book?
That's a gem right there.
My sister Tony Lynn bought it for me for Christmas back in like the 90s. But like the late 90s, like 99.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Dale Torborg as the Kiss Demon. The Kiss Demon.
Remember when Kiss played?
Yeah.
Was it Nitro, I think it was, or something like that?
That was a shit fest.
Oh, man. God.
Remember Megadeth played?
Dude, I'm going to get shit for this because I'm a Megadeth mark.
I know you are.
But I like Crush. I love that song. And that was the Goldberg song. Dude, I don't know why I shouldn't like it. But I love it. And I love Megadeth. So when they did that song for the WCW album, yeah, it's on my fucking phone, man. I have Megadeth's catalog on my phone. They're like one of my favorite bands of all time.
I think they're overrated.
Yeah, well.
I think Metallica's much better than they are.
Well, I think Metallica did everybody a favor by letting Dave Mustaine start Megadeth because those first couple of albums were fucking hard. Like, hard, dude.
Shaylin just said, fuck Damien Demento, he sucked.
I think that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. That's why I want to get it.
The Grand Wizard was so hated. He was so hated. Shout out the Grand Wizard, man. I wish I was a wrestling
fan. Ernie Roth?
I wish I was a wrestling fan earlier than, like, 83. You know?
I think I should have been born in the early 70s so I could experience Ernie Roth in his grandness.
His grandness. The Grand Wizard, Ernie Roth.
He was such a shit talker.
He was great. I was watching the World's Greatest Managers on the network today.
I have that DVD. I love it.
Well, it was on the network today.
Like, they have it on the network?
Yeah.
They finally put that on there?
Yeah.
Shocked to hear that.
It's like a Beyond the Ring type
thing? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was watching, it was him and then Blassie. It was Blassie, then him. Like, no one gives, they give Blassie his props, but none of these fucking new kids have a clue, man. Fred Blassie was the shit. He was probably one of the greatest heels of all time in the 50s, and no one acknowledges it anymore.
I remember The Rock saying that, you know, Blassie was so hated that he would, like, bite the opponent's forehead, suck the blood right out of his forehead, and spit it out. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yep.
I think that a lot of these old school managers don't get enough credit nowadays.
Because they used to build characters.
Because, I remember Lou Albano was like...
Manager of Champions.
So good.
When I was first watching wrestling, it was right before Albano went face. He was still a heel manager.
Yes.
He managed the Samoans. He managed Don Morocco. He managed Greg...
Snuka.
Snuka when he was a heel, Greg Valentine. And Snuka, he turned on Snuka and then... what's his face? When Arnold Skoland became Snuka's manager. Yeah. But Albano was...
He managed a lot of champions, dude.
He had 16...
Bulldogs?
Yeah. He had a bunch of... U.S. Express.
U.S. Express he did, too?
Yeah.
I think he did more tag team champions than anybody else.
He had Morocco, and he was the IC champ.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did have Morocco. He
certainly did. Yep.
When Valentine was the IC champ, did he have that as...
Before Jimmy Hart, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was in there before Jimmy Hart. It was only... See, before they Vince cherry-picked... From the Midwest and got Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan, and then he got from Mid-South, he got Jimmy Hart. It was just Albano, Roth, and then he got Blassie, and that was it. Then they got Jimmy Hart. Then they got Slick. Then they got, you know, it's not a, and Elizabeth came with Macho Man. So
that's missing today.
Oliver Humper. Yeah, it's missing because they're these guys and girls are trained now in a performance center to keep their character in check. Back in the day, you had 3 minutes on a microphone, go out there and cut a promo. It was, there was no cue cards, there was no green screen. It was like, okay, Jim Cornette, go out there and talk about the Midnight Express for 3 minutes. All right, Dusty, do it. And Dusty did it. Flair did it. JJ did it. You know, Arn Anderson did it. Paul Jones did it. Like, all those guys did.
Paul Jones is a very underrated guy, too.
Oh, my God.
That guy
former tag team champion, former manager of champions.
What a shit talker he was.
He was great, man.
You know who was my...
Gary Hart.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes!
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you were going to say.
Oh.
Gary Hart next to probably my favorite manager. It's him and Heenan. It's him, Heenan, and then Paul Heyman.
It's, for me, it's... Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, Gary Hart's a favorite.
I love Heenan. I love Gary Hart. I love
Jim Cornette,
Heyman, and Cornette.
Mr. Fuji. I love Master Fuji.
I like Mr. Fuji. You know what it was about Mr. Fuji? I didn't care for him too much because you couldn't understand what he was trying to convey.
I didn't care. He was all about pain.
I mean, I liked him as Demolition's manager and Power of Pain.
Powers of Pain. He had the powers. He was all about discipline and pain. He had Morocco. You know. It's a lost art because the guys weren't trained to, you know, they weren't trained back then. They had a mouthpiece. You know what I'm saying? So you're right, dude. It's but Gary Hart was the shit, man. Gary Hart had, he had Brody, he had Kabuki,
Chris Adams.
Yeah, Chris Adams.
Gino Hernandez.
Gino Hernandez. He had, oh my God, he had Terry Funk. He had the great Muda, who we're going to talk about tonight. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
He managed champions, dude.
Yeah.
Especially in world class. Oh my God.
Yeah. Eric Embry he had, I believe.
Oh, that's right. He did have Eric Embry.
A bunch of guys.
Holy shit. Did he have Al Perez?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh my.
He had Al Perez when Al Perez was going for the U.S. title in the NWA tournament.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was his guy in the tournament. Yeah, Al Perez, man.
Fucking Barry Horowitz pat on the back right
dude,
there.
Dude, another guy who should have been pushed to the moon, but that's another story.
Al Perez, I think, was very underrated, and I agree.
I'll save that for another podcast.
And I'm pretty sure our friend Kevin Castle agrees with us.
Oh, he's a Al Perez mark.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
I think Al Perez was also doing a lot more than just wrestling in the 80s, man.
Oh, yeah. Those guys were, though.
He was spreading that seed too much, because look, we got Seth Rollins all of a sudden, and they look exactly alike. So go figure that one out. But, I think the managers are a lost art now today. I think the last great, like, all we have right now is Heyman. And even then, that's not really...
Yeah.
I think the last great manager, and you're going to think I'm fucking nuts, was what's his name? Armando Estrada. He was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
He was great, dude. Yep,
he was.
I thought, and people used to chant his name, and I was like, yo, this guy's fucking over.
He's great.
Over.
He had the fucking Cuban Pete gimmick.
Yes.
With the straw hat.
He was like, my name is Armando Alejandro Estrada. That was great, dude. Great fucking gimmick.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was the last one. He was the last one. And again, it's just a performance center thing. It's a, you know, fucking, I don't know. We'll do a lot of that this year, maybe. We'll do some managers, do some shows about the managers and stuff.
I agree. I would love to do that.
We'll get through all their gimmicks. And like Jimmy Hart, we could pull all the shit from Mid-South. And, you know, like there's so many things that they've done. Gary Hart, we'll do a Gary Hart thing. And
I was never a Jimmy Hart guy.
You know what? You got to watch his stuff in Mid-South, though.
Yeah.
With Lawler. Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, man. It's classic. What's his nuts? The actor.
Oh, Andy Kaufman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Latkes.
Thank you very much, Latka. Yeah.
You know who was really pretty good? If we're talking about managers, I really liked Cyrus.
Cyrus the Virus?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Pastor said Abraham Washington.
Anyways. What is he saying? What did he say to get himself fired?
He said, oh, no. Did he say
he had a live mic and he was like, yeah, that guy's getting more women than Kobe Bryant in the hotel room.
It's like, hey, my nigga.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, that's what
AW sucked.
Jesus.
I don't know, man.
I was not a big AW fan.
No, not me.
I like I said, Armando Estrada. That guy was great.
Yeah, but it's a lost off one. I agree. I totally agree.
Moving on.
Are you, are we ready?
Whenever you're ready, dude.
All right, let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Okay, terrific.
Yes. This match was terrific.
Let me get okay, terrific in there.
Okay, terrific.
Kids. There are days where I don't use the soundboard, and then there are days where I just abuse it. Zeb Coulter, yes. I like Zeb. Oh, did you like Zeb or no?
I like Zeb. Yeah,
I like Zeb.
I thought he was a breath of fresh air in Jack Swagger's career.
I might get shit for this, but I thought Vicky Guerrero was fantastic.
She was great, yes.
I thought Vicky Guerrero was great.
She was an excellent heat magnet. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. People hated her.
Yeah.
When she used to say, excuse me, oh, my God, dude. What a heat magnet she was.
So, I've been putting this off for a couple of years. I don't know why. It wasn't on purpose. I was going to do it with several other people, including other co-hosts, guys that called in, guys who hung out with us. We always talked about this match because it was a weird time in WCW. They were just branching off from the NWA.
Correct.
They just had sold to Turner. And they were losing guys left and right. Guys were coming back. And when they came back, they weren't the same people. And this is part of it. And I've been such a Muda guy lately because of New Japan and, you know, just, I've been on Japanese wrestling's radar for the last couple of months because of what's going on. But a lot of people don't really give the credit to Muda's U.S. run because it wasn't very long. Now, he was in Florida before this as the Ninja, right? But he was a job guy. And Muda was one of the guys that came over here, tried the notoriety, and wasn't receptive to what was going on in that particular climate, if that makes any sense to you, right? And you were still too young to notice anyway, but
I really didn't appreciate Muda until like later on when I got, you know, 18, 19 years old.
By the time you got to him, he was a mega star.
I know, but the thing, I remember him being part of the NWO and NWO Japan
with Chono.
With Chono,
correct.
Another great Japanese wrestler.
Correct.
And I agree with you. After I started watching some of his stuff from like 1990, I think that he didn't get his just due. I think he could have been a much bigger star.
Yeah.
Than what he was portrayed as.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And for me, it was all about the magazines. So whatever I didn't see on TV, because I didn't have cable until around this time, the magazines were my only link to the outside world. Like Japan, like NWA, AWA, UWF, whatever the case may be. And this was an interesting time because guys were circulating. So the Horsemen are now Faces, which was weird, right?
I fucking hated it.
Flair had just finished his feuds with like Steamboat and Terry Funk.
Yep.
And here's why I didn't hate it. Because Gary Hart was the nemesis of the Four Horsemen. And there are certain guys that can come into an angle, okay, and make things that don't look good work for everybody. Where you know when you know the horseman being faces isn't right, doesn't feel right, now they're being drawn into something. They have a legitimate beef, and it's not with the run-of-the-mill, the fucking Lex Lugers of the world, the Barry Windhams of the world, the Ron Simmonses of the world, anybody who was like or Sting for that matter, right?
Yeah.
It was Gary Hart.
Okay, I think you must have answered this already. Sting was a horseman or no? It was only like a month, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, around this time he was being groomed. They had brought Ollie back, and this was around that time.
I see Sting in this group, and I was like, what the fuck, dude?
That kind of, you know, again, hold on a second.
That's okay. No.
If you didn't see Muda when he showed up, you can't explain his impact. You're right. Mr. X said, if you didn't see Muda when he showed up, you can't explain his impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I emphasize that because, again, if it was anybody else doing this but Gary Hart and the crew he had was J-Tex, right?
He had Buzz Sawyer.
Muda. He had Muda, the Dragon Master, who was like a Japanese wrestler nobody cared about, who was okay. He wasn't. And Terry Funk.
And there was another one, wasn't there?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't it Bunkhouse Buck?
No, Bunk was with Stud Stable.
Sorry, Stud Stable.
Right.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. It's you doing it by memory, dude. Yeah. I have notes here, but I know you didn't take notes on that because I just told you to watch the match. So J-Tex picks the beef, and you got listen. And again, Muda, Buzz Sawyer, Terry Funk, heavy hitters, former world champion, NWA world champion Terry Funk was. A lot of people don't realize Terry Funk was the world champion for 2 years.
A lot of people don't realize that he's a legit wrestler, not just a hardcore guy.
Third generation, in your face.
I thought he was second.
Second, I'm sorry. It was his dad, then his brother, and his hand, right? But he was world champion for 2 years. And he beat everybody. He beat Harley Race. He beat the Briscoes.
Dusty.
Yeah. And he beat Dusty. So, I mean, he beat everybody in the territories. So, and you got Buzz Sawyer, the Mad Dog, the original Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. Buzz Sawyer was so underrated.
But a legit prick outside the ring,
He
too.
Was an asshole inside and outside the
legit.
Ring.
Legit.
And he had heat everywhere.
Just ask The Undertaker.
And he had heat, right? Yeah, I forgot about that.
He trained The Undertaker, and then Undertaker gave him money, and he bounced on The Undertaker. He was like, fuck you, I'm taking the money, and you can go train and find somebody else to train you.
I totally forgot about
that. Yeah, I think he sold like $3,000 from The Undertaker. It's crazy.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. So, and Buzz Sawyer was one of those guys that if he just stayed on a straight and narrow, and he wasn't a fuck-up. Like, he was really heavy into stuff, too. He had his demons.
Yeah, he did.
But this guy was, like, almost a prodigy in a ring. Like, he had the attitude. He bumped.
Watched a few of him and Tommy Rich. Oh, my God.
Which we should do this year, actually.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it wasn't just the feud with Tommy Rich. Buzz Sawyer was a legit badass. He was in that upper echelon, Bruiser Brody, like ass kicking.
He just wasn't
as popular as the other
people. It's just a shame though that, you know, with so many heavy hitters at this time, he couldn't stand out.
So Muda was, they even had a champion in that stable. The great Muda was the TV champion.
I love that belt. Best belt. I know it's your favorite belt.
It's the prettiest belt in wrestling, but that's just me. But to be a TV champion, to be a foreigner and be a TV champion in the regional WCW, was kind of like cool for me anyway. I was very impressionable still, even though I was in high school. I was a freshman, I think I was. Yeah, I was a freshman. 15, 16 years old, I was very impressionable, and I understood. I was getting to understand wrestling. I understood why guys were in certain places. Like, I wasn't really upset anymore, like, when guys lost, and I knew why they lost, I knew what the purpose was, and I was getting the fucking, I was getting it, you know? I was getting smart, I was getting hip. I became the cool kid in the room. Well, I thought I was anyway. I was just a fucking nerd, but closet nerd anyway. But I was really into this because Gary Hart was everything. The promos were everything. Funk, and he spoke for Muda because Muda don't speak English. Barely anyway. Well, he didn't at that time. I know his English is good now, but he didn't speak. Sawyer was a maniac and played the part. So now you have these guys against the Four Horsemen.
And now, people, the Horsemen we're talking about right now is Flair,
Ole, and Arn.
And then you also have to include Sting.
Well, this is either before Sting or right after.
I think it's
right before.
Yeah.
And Flair was still winning championships at this point.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so he had just won the title from Sting in January. I was there, 1990, in the Meadowlands. So this is a big deal. This was WCW had they had pre-taped shows. They had Saturday night, and then they had the Sunday show, the main event. But then they had a show called the Power Hour.
Yeah,
which was another hour tape show, and they would have like one. They would have a bunch of squash matches, and then they have one main event match. This particular show, the Power Hour, eventually made it to regular syndicated TV. It was on Channel 11. And when I was watching it, Chris Cruz was the host.
Oh, my God.
And Terry Funk, they called him Crispy. He called him Crispy.
Crispy.
But that was, it was his show. Missy Hyatt, I think, hosted it a few times, I believe. If I'm doing this by memory now.
Young Missy Hyatt.
Yeah. Smashable, very smashable. By the way, thank you to everybody who reached out to her on Twitter. There was a bunch of you guys, Nick German included.
Yeah.
Who she asked,
What's the next podcast I should listen to?
She did it more than once, too. Yeah. People were like, listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
Not that she probably did, but. And if you did, you were fucking hot back in the day. You were very smashable. So I hope you're listening. All right. Anyway. So the Power Hour, like I said, had main events, like good main events.
And people, when we talk about main events here, we're not talking about like the world champion being the main event. We're talking about like guys, like even mid-carders were like, the thing is, a lot of the younger listeners don't realize that you didn't have to have the world champion or the guy to be the main event all the time. You could have had a guy like, say, for example, for today's standards, you could have had, Kofi Kingston and like Fuckballs McGee in the main event.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Fuckballs McGee from
Fuckballs McGee
in the main event.
Wow. I forgot about that guy.
Okay, terrific.
I forgot about Fuckballs.
Yeah, his
you're right over there.
Yeah, it was just I got a text. It's whatever, you know what I mean. It could have been Coco Beware versus fucking...
Correct.
You know.
Correct. But it was, you know...
Jerk off Johnson, for all I know.
But what was cool was, well, sometimes you got a, what do you call it? You got a title match. And tonight, you did. It was January of 1990. From Gainesville, Georgia, the hometown of the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, I believe. I think he's from Gainesville.
Gainesville, Georgia it is, yes.
The TV title, The Great Muda. And I think Muda beat Sting for the title, if I'm not mistaken. He beat Sting for the TV title.
Yes.
Okay. So now he's the TV title holder. Arn Anderson was TV champion, I believe, a few times.
I think he's been the one. Was he the one who won the most NWA television championships?
Yeah, either him or Dusty, I think. I have to look it up. But either way, this match was fan fucking tastic.
On point. Can I just say that I aside from the fact that the Horsemen are baby faces in this time period, I prefer Arn as a heel. Arn as a heel to me was my favorite. Like he just knew how to like dictate the match better.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you here only because I thought Arn was always Arn, and I thought Arn was on point with this because again. The Horsemen were faces, granted, but they were still killing promos. They were still beating people up as faces, which was weird. As a wrestling fan, as a kid, you're like, when the face wrestler is a heel, or the face, or the heel wrestler becomes the face, you don't see them going back to those tactics where they're cheating, they're pulling tights, they kick their managers interfering. They were still kicking people's faces in.
At one point in the match, I realized that Arn, even though he was the face, I saw this. He raked Muda's face with his boot. Like, he actually raked Muda's face right on the laces of his boot. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I like that.
Arn will stomp the shit out of you if you give him the opportunity.
He would.
He's an old school guy. He was with Ole. Ole was with Gene, Minnesota Wrecking Crew, that lineage. Pick a body part, work on it.
And destroy it.
Done.
And I remember Arn saying this, like, you know, what's the use of a three-legged table? There's no use for it anymore.
Correct.
So I love that. And might I also add, I think this is the best shape I saw Arn in at this time. I think Arn was, like, slimmed down a little bit in this match.
Yeah, Arn didn't get real heavy until he got a little older. I think he stayed that weight.
I thought he was a little heavier in 88.
Maybe, yeah.
But, like, at this time, he was just, like, slimmed down a lot.
He always had that doughboy face, though. Like, he always was big in the face. Like,
but he lifted. I know he lifted weights.
Of course,
he was a fucking beast in the gym.
Of course.
But I like this match a lot because Arn, like I said, Arn is one of my favorites of all time because he could go no matter what.
Yeah, and Muda was going back to Japan soon, so this is like a thing where, and we didn't notice at the time, you know, but they were grooming Muda in Japan. Like, he was a big deal.
When did he win the NWA title? Was it in the New Japan?
I'm not sure. He was NWA champion.
Though. I know that. Yeah, didn't he beat Flair for that?
No.
It wasn't Flair?
No.
Or was it Sting?
He didn't beat Sting at all. No. He won it when the NWA broke off.
I could have sworn he won it when they were still... I'm sorry.
You want to look it up real quick?
Yeah, let me... You know what?
I'll look it up. Hold on a second. Because now it's going to bother me. Da-da-da-da. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. List of champions. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see real quick. Okay, let's see. History. Jim Crockett, WCW. Okay. Where is it? List of champions. Where is my fucking... There we go. List of champions. Da-da-da-da. I can't find it. How come I can't find it? This is, like, ridiculous. Hold on a minute. Let me look this up real quick. How's the chat room looking? Anything good?
Kelly says, side question. When did Dean Malenko join the Horsemen? I think it was 97?
Mm-hmm.
97.
Yep.
But I could be wrong. Could have been 98, but I think it was 97.
Yeah, he won... Let's see. Looking up Muta right now.
The Great Muta.
Great Muta. He won... Where's his fucking championships? Where is it? I have the guy here. Where is it? Come on now. Go on now.
Okay, Mia.
Yeah, he won it in... Luthez, Buddy Rogers.
When the fuck did he... It says that he won it in New Japan.
He probably did win it in New Japan.
No, let's see.
He beat... it was vacant. He won it in... And Muda won it, and he was defending the IWGP Championship at the time. He won it January 4th, 93. It was put up. It was, he beat Chono, who beat Rude.
Chono beat Rude?
He beat Masa Chono.
Oh.
For the title.
Look at you, smarty pants.
No, that was, the wrestling Wikipedia. Reference.
That was the Wikipedia right there.
The wrestling wiki.
And then the man to beat Muda was Barry Windham, apparently.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, so he won it afterwards, but he was being groomed in Japan, like, big time. This was the start of the Great Muta, his legacy, you know? The match went 14 minutes.
A really good 14 minutes. 14 Very minutes. Very solid 14 minutes.
I can get into, I have a blow-by-blow, and then I have the match, so I'll read the match, and then I'll play the end of it.
Can I ask you a question? In the match, did Muda do a special corkscrew elbow where he kind of does that little twist?
Yeah.
He does do that, okay.
Yeah, then he, at one point, applies the cattle mutilation.
Yes, that was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, double A muscled out of that.
Handspring elbow?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does the Anderson kicks out. He goes for a back body drop. Irish whip by double A. He nails the spine buster, but the Dragon Master jumps on the apron. Distracts Anderson and the referee. Buzz Sawyer comes off the top turnbuckle with an axe handle to knock double A out when the ref isn't looking. To cover Muda, gets a two count. So Muda does the jumping jack that you mentioned into a rib breaker. Then he goes to the top, but Anderson puts the knees up.
Yep.
And gets the knees up and goes for the he puts the knees up. Umuda goes for the looking for the cover. We call it double A gets up. Muda's doubled over, gets him in the DDT for the three count. But it was a couple of spots here. There was vertical suplexes.
I love the spine buster.
Yeah, there was a couple of headlocks. Like Muda's old school too, man. There was the space rolling elbow that you were talking about. That's the one you talk about.
Yes,
it's called the space rolling elbow.
Yes, I love that.
Okay.
Guess who's in the room?
Who?
Mr. Nick German, the suplex machine.
Nick German suplex. Nick needs a.
Nick needs a dick in his mouth. Huh? That's what he needs.
Will you stop?
It all goes down next week.
Oh, boy.
In Philly. Wow, look at that. Nick's a bag of douche.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a true bag of douche.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. You better calm down, Heenan. All right?
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down.
Not my fault that Brian Pillman scares the shit out of you.
It's true. All right. You want me to, want me to play the end of this match?
Well, yes, sir. Please.
Okie dokie.
Arn Anderson had his moment of glory. But in the end, the great Muda is going to show everybody.
Jim Cornette on commentary.
Muda went for the moonsault, but then it was the knees up and the DDT. One, two, three, a new champion. A new TV champion has been crowned.
Can I mention the racist comment of the match?
Go ahead.
Mr. Jim Ross saying, have you ever met a nice Oriental man?
As a bonus, I have double A in a shoot talking about how we hated the rest of the great Muda.
Why?
I'll find out right now.
Now, when you came back, you did the surprise angle where you came in with Buzz Sawyer and Muda. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Like I said, Buzz, it was like being in a bar fight every night. And I don't know if Buzz didn't like me, if Buzz didn't like anybody, but he was just especially mean and especially tough. And Buzz was badass. He was one of those real badasses of the era. And we got into some pretty serious scrapes, and Muda was as polished as anybody. I mean,
right.
Muda was great. And I did not enjoy the matches, let's just put it that way. Number one, I was cast in the wrong role. I was a good guy, hugely miscast, and fish out of water. Thank God it was short-lived.
Right. Now, also, I guess at the time, Sting was with the Horsemen, and then eventually you guys turned on Sting.
And that was, I mean, he was like a Horseman for a week or something.
Right.
And that's where we would have started. That would have been one of those pivotal points where the company would have started to turn around a little bit. When that angle, which was well done, and you really got a grip on what a great talker Ole Anderson was during that interview,
when
he was saying, Sting, look, you know, time's running out. He convinced me.
Right.
Sting blew his knee out that night, and we lost it for 6 months, and all that momentum was just gone. You don't replace a Sting, not at that point in time. And that hurt the company big time.
So there you have it.
I actually do remember that shoot interview.
Right, so this is when they kick Sting out and Clash of the Champions, whatever it was, in the cage match with J-Tex and the Horsemen. Sting came out to attack Flair after they gave him the ultimatum because he signed the contract for the title match, and all we said, you have 2 hours to rip the contract up, or we're going to kill you. You're out of the Horsemen. You're done.
Yeah.
Sting went outside, went out later on to attack him during the main event, and jumped off the cage and fell down and blew out his knee. And what's fucked up is Flair mentions this too. Flair went out there to fight him and didn't realize he was hurt. So Pillman and Astana is trying to tell him he's hurt. And Flair kept kicking the shit out of him. So
I don't know if it was at that point where he jumped on the cage, he blew out his knee, or if he fell off
when he jumped off.
When he jumped off, that's when he blew out his knee. I thought when he jumped on the knee, jumped on the cage.
Yeah. So, and he didn't like being the face, but it didn't change him. I'm sorry. Maybe if you saw it differently, then that's fine. We'll agree to disagree. But I don't think it changed him as a wrestler.
And no, I'm not saying it changed him as a wrestler, but I think Arn as a babyface, he's not good as a babyface.
Long term, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right, of course. That's why I'm glad that it was just a short term deal.
Yeah.
Where he was just, you know, they were like, you know what, fuck it. We got to turn these guys heels because they're better as heels.
Yeah.
I like Flair as a babyface, though.
Fuck it.
Flair as a babyface is pretty good.
I didn't mind any of it. Because and Gary Hart for me was, like I said, Gary Hart was the X factor. I thought he was the catalyst of all this. They had good adversaries. If they were faces just fighting fucking, you know, Barry Windham and Lex Luger or the Freebirds, I wouldn't give a shit. Or the Road Warriors, even. Gotcha. I wouldn't care, because it was run of the mill. Like, it was like, okay, this is old hat. This wasn't old hat. This was dynamic, and it was legit. Like, these guys were he was still kicking people's faces in as a face, as you know what I'm saying. No point intended.
Let me ask you something, and I'm pretty sure this has been asked multiple times. Do you think if Arn was healthy, that he could have eventually won the world title?
I've had this conversation before.
Now, keep in mind, I know for a fact that his neck was not 100% at this time, because Sean had given him in a Hurricane Rana in the WWF when he was part of the Brainbusters, and he fucked up his neck pretty bad, and he never got it fixed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
See, I never saw him as a world champion.
Okay.
You know, I never did. Could he have been world champion? Absolutely. I personally, as a kid, never saw him as a world champion.
I agree. I agree with you. Because I'll be honest with you. I think he could have been more than just a television champion. I think he could have been the United States champion. But he never did it.
Yeah.
It was always television champion or the tag straps.
Yeah.
And I think he excelled as a tag team wrestler. He was great with Ole, great with Tully, and great with Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah.
Those teams were fantastic.
He teamed with Barry Windham.
He teamed with Barry.
He teamed with Austin and Bobby Eaton. Like, him and Bobby Eaton were best friends.
Him and Bobby could have been
Bobby were best friends, and they only teamed up when they were in the Dangerous Alliance,
yeah.
Because they were both in successful tag teams. So, again, he was a treasure, man. Arn Anderson was a treasure. The Great Muta was a treasure.
There's a lot of guys that were... To see, oh, by the way, let's also, I forgot to mention this, though. What about that mullet that Mr. Muta was wearing?
Oh, it was 1990.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was all of its glory. It was mullet central.
I think he needed to, like, cut it down a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm not telling him any different, because it'll spit, you know, green shit in my face.
And sometimes it'll be red shit, too.
Red, green, kick your face in, you know. Love the Great Muta. I'm a Great Muta mark. I've always been. I thought... And he impressed me during Starrcade, even though he didn't win, you know, the tournament, you know,
yeah.
The Iron Man tournament, which was one of the first Starrcades that we did. It was hysterical.
You know which match you got to check out? I think I have it at home. I'll let you give you the DVD. the best of Christopher Daniels from ROH. Him and Daniels fought in ROH.
Muda. Ooh, I want to see that.
You gotta
bring that. Oh, I want to see that.
That was by far one of the best Muda matches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Muda was like 41 or 42 at this time. Fantastic match.
The great Muda. I never saw a bad Muda match. Because I never saw any of his job stuff in Florida when he was the ninja. So I never saw a bad match. I never saw a bad Muda match. All my Muda matches were fantastic. You know?
I mean, these Orientals, they don't know what they're doing.
Wow.
Okay, terrific.
Wow.
What? They're nice people. Wow. I mean, they can't drive very well, but...
Will you stop?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I mean... For all my Orientals out there.
Oh, gee. Is this your goal now? Every time you're back in studio, you're just going to piss off a fucking race of people?
I was just about to apologize to the Orientals.
Nick said he's part Oriental and part Black.
Bullshit. Where? Yeah. Okay. Terrific.
Fucking. Okay, terrific.
What a dickbag.
If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face.
Shaylin wants to know who had the worst mullet in wrestling.
The worst mullet? I don't know about the worst mullet. They're all glorious. Your dick is black?
That's a medical issue. That's a you problem, buddy.
If your dick is black, you might want to go have that checked out.
Yeah, you better stop suffocating it somehow or stop jerking it so goddamn much.
The fuck is us? Make him humble.
Jesus Christ, I'm a cracker.
Wow, we got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
Are we done?
Unless you want to take some questions.
If you guys have questions, I'll take questions. But we've been taking questions all night, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up then. Like I said, you guys want to join the contest. It's turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com.
One more time.
TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. I'll plug it all week. If we don't get 30 entries, we're not going to do the contest. So let's get...
And then there's no excuses, people.
We have 9 so far. So
let's Mueve.
Do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Win a cool prize. So, what's that?
You know when Nick German says, my dick is black, Kelly E says, wash it. That's funny. Kelly E is my new hero.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Maybe she should come down with us to NXT.
Yeah.
Put that motherfucker in his place.
Absolutely.
She just said her husband sent you one.
All right, good. That makes 10. That means we need 20 more. And then we'll do the drawing next week live during Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Nick, just stop while you're ahead, please.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big like a black dude's.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much it. Let's get out of here, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's make it. Let me play some music.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, you like that, huh?
I like that theme song
a lot. I know, me actually. Too. So, this was his Before the Horseman. So, anyway. All right, so you know where to find us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Support all our friends who are not network affiliates. RantEMRadio.com. Don't forget this Sunday, Surfers Comic Book Show, 5:00. Then you got the Monday night, which is the Sports Report with Mr. William Morgan.
Is Surfer coming next week?
Surfer will probably be in the neighborhood.
So we'll meet up with him.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Let's see what else. Tuesday you have the Rant, and of course the Shining Wizards. Thursday's Rant Wrestling, and of course you got us on Friday again. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All you need's there. I mentioned all the plugs already. Again, once again, for the contest, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. You can tweet myself and Choppy at TBuckleTbacks at
Choppy2984.
Correct. And we're on Instagram at TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We're on Facebook.
Same deal.
That's it, man. You know how to get us. We're not very unaccessible.
We're actually very receptive if you message us. We'll message you. We'll talk back to you.
Correct. So on behalf of my tag team partner, the Chopster, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Philip Ray, reminding you all to care yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. Nick, wash your dick. And have a great...
Yeah, you sick fuck. freak.
And go Vikings.
Yes, please, go Vikings.
And have a great rest of your week. We love you. And thanks for hanging out with us in the chat room as well. See you next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.